Let me ask you, how do you see things? You always see things down? I am always in debt. I am barely getting by. I am such a loser. What follows I am follows you. I am so dumb, that'll follow you. I am always in debt, that'll follow you. Because the Bible says in Proverbs 23, as a man thinketh, so is he.
Welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero, founding pastor of New Hope Oahu. Throughout the Bible, we find story after story of men and women who achieved amazing things after they adjusted their attitudes. When they saw themselves as weak and worthless, they were weak and worthless. But when they began to see themselves as mighty warriors, that too is what they became. Here is Pastor Wayne with a message entitled, The Power of I Am.
Today I want to talk to you about the power of I Am. How God's going to change the way you see things. Not things, how you see things. And in fact, that transition will be the summation and determine the size of your faith. And for that, God rewards. But that's what God is trying to do, because we all live in the same world and we're going to go through the same problems. Question is not what you go through, it's how you see what you go through that'll make all the difference in the world. Today we're going to go through a story in the Old Testament that'll example this. But I want us to know that it's so important that we're all in the same boat. There's people that you meet here that are fighting battles just like you are. They're going to be struggling with stuff just like you are. You know, you can have two people grow up in the very same neighborhood, read the same books, go to the same church. One does very well and the other does not. What? Two people, same church, same sermons, same Bible studies, same neighborhood. One does well and the other falls away. You think, did they go through different things? No, same. But it's not what you go through, it's how you see and view what you go through. And this is so important because this is our run. Folks, listen, we don't have another run. This is it. We don't get to come back. You don't get seconds in life. This is our run, and we want to do it well. So God is going to build our faith. He can't take away circumstances, but he can change us in the midst of it so we see it differently. From something that is bad to something that is good. I have a friend, his name is Gary. He was the anchor man, running anchor in a quarter mile relay. So it's just once around the track. And his job, because he was anchor, was when the gun went off and they came out of their starting blocks, because he was last, he's supposed to take the starting blocks of his team off the track and then run down to where his box was to get ready to catch the baton and finish the race. The gun went off. He went over there and took the starting blocks off, ran to the side, put it down, and started going towards his box where he would be the final guy to receive the baton, when he realized he hadn't even taken off his sweats yet. So he whips off his top and whips off his bottom as he's running, about trips, and then gets into the box. As soon as he gets into the box, that baton slaps onto his hand and he starts running. And when he started running, he realized that the bottom half of his body was a little chillier than it should have been. And as he's running, he looked down and realized he took off more than his sweats. The little silky things he had on went with it, and they were accompanying the sweats on the side. And he realized all he had was his BVDs, running towards a grandstand thrilled to receive him. At that point, when he saw what had happened, he said, "Oh, I am done. This race is done." And he had to make a choice. Either he would fulfill the thrill of the grandstanders whose wide eyes were open and waiting for him, or he would take a sharp left and head towards the locker room never to be seen again. He chose the second choice and just took off across the field. He said, "Wayne, I was done." I laughed and I thought, wow. You know, I'm wondering, do we have everything we need to finish the race that God has called us to? In fact, the Bible says this in the book of Corinthians, run in such a way that you win. How are you doing on that? Well, sometimes, you know, people ask me this question because, by the way, next year I will have been in ministry, full-time ministry, 50 years. Can you believe that? 50 years. In fact, Anna and I will be married 50 years. You married an old man. But people will come and say, Wayne, how do you keep going when things aren't going right? How do you stay the course? How do you keep going when there's side doors that you could have taken? How do you keep going? Well, I say it's not the course. It's not the pathway. It's how you see it. It's not what you run through. It's how you see what you're running through. It's not what you encounter. It's how you see the things that you encounter. Do you see it up or down? For example, I'll put a word up here. God is nowhere. And you look at that and you go, yep. But if I keep looking at that, you can say God is nowhere, but you know what? I'm going to keep looking at it until I see that God is now here. See, a lot of times we just say, oh, God is nowhere. Yeah, but if you look at it, it's not what you see, it's how you see what you see. It makes all the difference in the world. Well, God is nowhere. No, he is now here. No, he's nowhere. No, he is now here. What's the difference? You know, it's going to be in Numbers chapter 13 where we're going to see that exampled in a very emphasized way. Let me ask you, how do you see things? You always see things down? I am always in debt. I am barely getting by. I am so dumb. I am such a loser. I am so sick and tired. You want to write this down somewhere? What follows I am follows you. I am so dumb, that'll follow you. I am always in debt, that'll follow you. I'm sick and tired, that will follow you. Because the Bible says in Proverbs 23, as a man thinketh, so is he. A poet named Walter Winkle writes it this way. If you think you are beaten, you are. If you think you dare not, you won't. If you'd like to win, but don't think you can, it's almost sure that you never will. If you think you'll lose, you're lost. Because life's battles don't always go to the stronger and the faster man. Sooner or later, the one who wins is the one who believes he can. It's how you see things. In Numbers chapter 13, we see this lived out. God tells the Israelites, I'm going to give you the promised land. In fact, he said it this way, every place where the sole of your foot treads, I'm going to give it to you. I've already given it to you. So Moses says, this is so cool. He sends 12 spies into this beautiful promised land. And the Bible calls it a land flowing with milk and honey. That's just a sign of abundance. Go into the land, he says to 12 spies, one from each tribe, and tell us, what does it look like? Take some pictures. Take your iPhone. Just take some videos and bring it back. So the 12 say, okay. They go into the land. 10 are going to come back having seen poorly. 2 come back seeing things the way God wants them to see it. The 2 will be entered into the promised land. The others, God will actually exclude. They'll never walk into the promises. They saw problems while the others saw potential. 10 said, God is nowhere. 2 said, God is now here. I'm going to read this to you, and then we'll read the final scripture together. But let me give you some context. After having gone into the land, 12 come back to report to Moses. And I read, and they came back to Moses and Aaron, and they came in to talk to the whole Israelite community. There they reported to them and to the whole assembly, showed them some of the fruit of the land. And they gave Moses this account. Quote, we went into the land to which you sent us, and it does flow with milk and honey. Here's some of the fruit. However, The people of the land who live there are powerful. The cities are fortified, huge, very large. And we saw the sons of Anak there. These are the giants. We saw the sons of Anak there, and the cities are impenetrable. And the Amalekites live there, and the Hittites, and the Jebusites, and the Amorites, and the Canaanites, and the Kryptonites, Electrolytes, Termites, and Flashlights. They all live there. Well, Caleb, on the other hand, silenced the people and said, wait a minute. We should by all means go up and take possession of the land because we certainly can do it. See the difference? But the other men who had gone up with him said, no, we can't attack the people. They are way stronger than we are. And they spread among the Israelites a bad report about the land they had explored because they said, the land we explored devours those living in it. See the difference? Did they go into the same land? See the same fruit, hills, valleys? One said, no can do. The other says, can. Did you see the same place? Uh-huh. But it's how that caused one to be included and the others to be excluded. You see, the way you see your marriage, your life, your future, this church, everything, the way you see things, is God is nowhere or is God now here? And that is a summation of the size of your faith. And after they said that, they said this, and this is in your notes and it'll come up on the board. This is what they finally said as their final statement. Would you read it with me? Go. There we saw the giants, the descendants of Anak came from the giants. And here it is. And we were like grasshoppers in. And so we were in. Did you know that it starts with you? I am what? So dumb. God's not here. God is nowhere to be found. What follows I am in your life will follow you into your life. It's so important. God says, you've got to rethink. They said, no, the sons of Anak are there. Those are the giants. So the word Anak is a biblical term for Samoans. That's what it is. The Samoans were here. And Caleb said, no, we can go in. Oh, no, we cannot. It was like this. Moses said, how difficult would it be? 10 of them said, super difficult, like impossible. Caleb, you know, in the Olympics, you have two placards that have a score of 1 to 10, 10 being the best, 1 being really low. And the first placard shows the artistry of the, let's say, the floor exercise. And so how artistic was it? 1 to 10, it was a 9. 9.5. Measure of difficulty. Well, a guy just did 2 cartwheels. He did it really well, but measure of difficulty, like 1. And they bring those two together. That gives you your final score. Well, it's almost like Moses said to the 10, the measure of difficulty to get to the land and conquer it, how much? The 10 said, you mean between like 1 and 10? Yeah, 12. It's impossible. Samoans are there. We cannot go in there. Caleb, on a scale of 1 to 10, how difficult is it? Yeah. 2. Yeah. You see, if God says we can do it, I'm going to do it. Sure, there's going to be all kinds of stuff there that are obstacles. But if God said we can do it, and this is what he's chosen for us to do, it's a 2. And it's about me believing what he says, and I'm going to see it the way God sees it. Are there still giants? Absolutely. But we're okay. We're okay. The same is true with your life and mine. You see, it's not what you see, it's how you see. How's your marriage? Whoo! 1 to 10 difficulty? Yeah. 24. My wife, her ship is already sailed already. What about you? We're going through the same thing. What's your measure of difficulty? It's a 3. Yeah, it's a 3 because God's still on the throne. And the problem is not in her. The problem is in me. And if I can go before the throne of God and be washed by his blood, we're going to do fine. We're just walking towards Calvary together. That's what we're going to do. The trip may be short, maybe long, but we're going to walk together to Calvary. Ooh, God says, you guys have the same problems in your marriages? Yeah. What's yours again? 24. Yours? 3. Then for you, sir, it'll be a 24. For you, sir, it'll be a 3. What? Yeah. You see, you decide your own measure of difficulty, because as is thy faith, so shall it be done unto you. Did you know how you see things in the receptivity to God's power and God's presence is the summation of your faith? And God always measures us by our faith. And because this is our run and we want to run this race well, God is saying, learn to see things that I am there. God is now here. Sometimes God in the Old Testament and New Testament had to change people's names in order to get them to see things correctly and to see them the way God wanted to see them. What do they call you? Simon Barjona. Oh, Simon means a little pebble, like kind of get stuck in your shoe. Yes. You know, people call you Simon, but I'm going to call you Peter. That's like the Rock of Gibraltar. And I'm going to change your name because I have something in the future for you, but you'll never enter that unless you see things differently and see yourself differently. So I'm going to change your name to help you. You're no longer Simon Barjona. You're going to be Peter. And then he says this, on this process, upon this transition, upon this transformation, I'm going to build my church. Do you know what the church of God is? People who understand that God, the way he sees you, is the right way. And it's time I see myself that way, even though circumstances look negative. I'm going to speak in faith, because what follows I am follows me. And God says, you get that? That's the church. And so of the 12, 10 were excluded, and 2 entered in. Ah. So who did he change? Well, the first was Abram. His name was changed from Abram, which means father, to Abraham, which means the father of many nations. He said, Abraham, I'm going to do a miracle in your life, but you and Sarah are laughing and disbelieving. I'm going to have to change your name so that you'll see what I have in store for you. Your wife's name is Sarai. I'm going to change her name to Sarah. Sarai means a princess, a nice lady. I'm going to change it to Sarah, the mother of many peoples. Ah. Your name is what? Jacob. That means kind of criminal. Kolohe, thief. Yeah, so? Well, you'll never enter into the destiny or the destination or the person I want you to become unless you see things differently. You keep seeing it that way, you're going to impugn your own future. I'm going to change your name to Israel. That means you have wrestled and you let God prevail, and now you're different. You're blessed. You know, there's going to be times in your life, too, when you're going to wrestle with God about seeing your life differently, your future. I'm okay. That's just who I am. My marriage is like it is what it is. God is saying, no, you're going to wrestle with me here. And God's wrestling with you, and your conscience bothers you at times. Sometimes you can't sleep. There's a gnawing feeling in your stomach. It just may be God's wrestling with you. And one of the greatest victories you will ever win is when you surrender to God. That is the greatest victory. If you've never said yes to Jesus, you may be here wrestling with him. You can be in church wrestling with him. Because God is wanting to change you, change your heart, change your perspective, change the I am what? Lost? I am, no, yeah, Wayne, you know, I got, before I come to the Lord, I got to get my life together. No. Outside of God's embrace, you cannot get your life together. You can't get your life together on your own muscle, your own will. It won't happen. It's like putting a Band-Aid on a cancerous tumor. You can make it look like it's gone, but it's still there. The only way that our lives will be transformed and changed is you come as you are with all your warts, with all your foibles, with all your mistakes, and you come into his embrace. And within his power, he begins to transform you. It's his power that does that, not yours. God does that. Only He can.
Oh, well, if that happens, Wayne, if I come to your church and, I come like I am, the roof can fall in.
A few years ago, it already did at Farrington. So we have taken care of that for you. It fell in already. Which tells me that God is saying, come just like you are. And so this beautiful church welcomes you into the arms of Jesus. At the end of the service, I want to give you that opportunity to receive Him as Lord and Savior. And the most eternal decision you'll ever make is when you say, just as I am, I come, I come. And God says, good, I'll take it from there. So there's going to be a wrestling match in your life, and it's okay. You let God prevail, and God may not need to change your name because He's just changed the way you see things. That's how God is. You know, the person that you're going to spend the most time with in your life is you. So why spend the rest of your life with a critic? Someone who's always doubting. Someone who's always telling you, nah, 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 don't do that. Nah, you don't need, nah, nah, that's not you. When it comes to the things of God, you need to tell yourself, go for it. You need to tell yourself, don't think like that, think like this. You need to be able, I mean, you just got to hang around with someone who likes you. The Bible says it this way, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart will bring forth what is good. But a bad man out of the bad treasure of his heart is going to bring forth what is bad. In other words, you can actually build good treasure from which will come good and direction, or bad treasure, and out of it will come bad direction. So if you let people speak bad into your life, oh, you don't need to go to church, or you don't need to do this, or you don't need to, if you take that and put it into your heart, what's going to come out? It's going to be bad stuff. You need to make sure, in fact, Proverbs says it this way, put a security guard over your heart. Because out of it will come the treasures of life. Interesting, huh? You mean there's got to be a security guard? Absolutely. There's a lid on your heart. And if people give you criticism and cynicism and doubts and worldly thoughts and worldly ideology, and there's no law against that, bro. And so you put all of that in your heart, what's going to come out is evil decisions. And you'll wonder, why did I ever do that? That's because you let all of the stuff come into your heart. And now that's the stuff that you're coming up with when you say, I am not that good. I am a mess up. I am whatever. Because what follows I am will start to follow you. So what we have to do is make sure that that lid stays closed. So even when the world says stuff against you that's bad, you can let it come into this canal here called your ear. You let it come into your judgment center right here called your brain. And if it's not from the throne of God, don't let it go into your heart. If your sentry or if your security guard is letting all kinds of stuff, you know, when someone says, man, that got my goat, or I can't shake that, or man, I can't go to sleep, man, I'm just tossing and turning because of what so-and-so said. When that happens, you know that your security guard let too much junk in. Watch over your heart with all diligence, for out of it will flow the treasures of life. So if you're letting too much stuff in that shouldn't be in there, fire your security guard and get someone else. And you keep that lid closed. And when someone says, well, that's pretty stupid, what do you think you're doing? I let it into my center here, and I'd say, hold on. Is that God? No. You know what I do? I just flush it. Just like stuff in the toilet. I just flush it. How do I do that? I just pull on my earlobe like this. So if you're talking to me and I'm going like this. No, because I've got to build good treasure in my heart. Because out of your heart will come good or evil. It's your fault if you're building bad stuff in there. That's why the decisions of the people of the world, you listen to them, you go, good night. How do they come up with that? They've got all bad treasure in their heart. Because an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart is going to bring forth what is evil. Well, it's your choice as to what kind of treasure you're going to archive.
You have just heard part one of a message entitled The Power of I Am by Dr. Wayne Cordero. We'll bring you the conclusion on tomorrow's broadcast. Until next time, remember what Pastor Wayne said.
Let me ask you, how do you see things? You always see things down? I am always in debt. I am barely getting by. I am such a loser. What follows I am follows you. I am so dumb. That'll follow you. I am always in debt. That'll follow you. Because the Bible says in Proverbs 23, as a man thinketh, so is he.
Now for all the family at New Hope, God bless you and have a great day in the Lord.